In the book of Ecclesiastes, as we've been looking through it and looking at the different themes of that we can chase after and different things in life that we chase after, we come now to wisdom. And the author, the teacher in Ecclesiastes, talks a lot about wisdom. He mentions it quite often. He counts himself as being a rather wise individual. And perhaps maybe wisdom here is used more as a knowledgeable individual. But either way, the teacher is speaking as though he is the final voice on every topic in life. And his final voice of wisdom, after everything has been sorted out, everything has been learned, everything has been looked at, everything has been examined, there has been all the evidence is given, all of the learning and all the teaching applied, the wisdom of his ancient, in his final hurrah lecture to whatever students are listening, he says, it's all meaningless, just a chasing after the wind. But is it really? And this morning we want to look at the idea of chasing after wisdom. And if you read, as I said before, through Ecclesiastes, seeing where he mentions wisdom, he usually is mentioning wisdom and knowledge kind of interchangeably. I'm a wise person and knowledge. Chapter 1, verse 16, he says, I thought to myself, look, I have grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I have experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. There's this interchange where knowledge seems to be wisdom and wisdom seems to be knowledge as the teacher works through his understandings. Because maybe he's a scientist-y type person, I guess. There's lots of empirical evidence. As he wanders through, he thinks that the more I know, the better off I'm going to be. But in the end, no matter how much I know, it's still not going to make any difference. Because the fool gets the same treatment in the end that I do. And there's no rhyme nor reason for it. And in fact, as we look out, the person who is wise, the person who is knowledgeable, the person who seems to have it all together, is the person who faces the most challenges, the hardest life, or loses it all. And the fool, the person who squanders it all, or treats themselves poorly, or treats others poorly, or you know, thumbs their nose at God, whatever the case may be through that, seems to have a charmed and wonderful life. And we think not just within the teacher's context, but we can relate to that in our own. How many times have we looked around the corner and said, well, here's a person who is out, sleeping around and, drinking their head off and doing drugs all over the place and abusing kids and doing all these horrible things, with wealth and with money and with fancy cars and no problems or worries at all to speak of. And the person who has given up everything in their life to go overseas and help in God's mission to bring the gospel, to bring medical care, to whatever it is dying at the age of 35 because they've contracted some disease in the care of another person. Where is the fairness in that? And that's exactly what the teacher is trying to get at. His jaded cynical view of life at the end, and says, everything is meaningless under the sun. It's all just a chasing after the wind. We think we can grab a hold of it and succeed by it, but it just slips right out of our fingers. We cannot capture it. We cannot grasp it. We cannot hold on to it. And so this old cynic, who is intelligent, who is wise, because people, not just himself, but other people, the other voice in Ecclesiastes says so, steps up and speaks. But we know that there is hope out of the end of that, because the second voice says, son, listen to what is being said, but don't hear it as doom and gloom. Hear it as there is something better, because out of all of that, if we live as though we fear God, if we fear God, then we will understand that from his perspective, from God's perspective, and above the sun, heavenly downward project perspective, there is hope. There is something to look for. Sorry, there's something to look forward to. There is meaning in relationship. There is meaning in wealth. There is meaning in all these things. But it is God's meaning, not our own. And that's where the teacher who speaks mostly is looking at it. Where is the meaning in my own perspective in life? And so this morning, we chase after wisdom. Now, as I was talking with the children a little bit here, that maybe clued into the difference, I think, between knowledge and wisdom. And it's important when we talk about this to understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing stuff. Knowledge is knowing about things. Wisdom is knowing what to do with that knowledge. Right? So let's start with knowledge. Now, knowledge in our society is power, right? The more you know, the better off you are, right? Let's think about it. We send our children to school. We fill their head with information, and this is not a diss against teachers. This is not a diss against the school system. This is, you know, we fill their heads with information, and they graduate. And then we say to them, you must go on to university or college at the very least. Please don't just not do anything. And we send them off to university so they can get a piece of paper that they can put alphabet, you know, letters behind their name. And it's wonderful. And then they say, this is great, I'm so intelligent and I can do all these things, so they can get a better job and they can provide for themselves. They go, well, we'll send them some more so they can get a better education, and they get more letters after their name. And now we've passed even, I don't have those letters after my name. And we go and they become more intelligent, and then they become even more intelligent because they go to school for some more learning, and they get to put more letters behind their name, and now there's more letters behind their name than there is in their name, and they get to put fancy titles in front of their name like doctor and a really smart individual sort of thing, and they can walk into a room and think, I know everything about this topic. I am smart. I am intelligent. I am Dr. Sheldon Cooper from the Big Bang Theory. You watch The Big Bang Theory? Do you? Yes, there's some. How many of you, like myself, when you're sitting down watching The Big Bang Theory, look at Sheldon and think to yourself, how can you be so smart and yet such an utter idiot? And there's the difference with knowledge. Now, knowledge is this idea that we think in our society today that if we just are smart enough, if we have a high enough IQ, if we learn as much as possible at everything, if we celebrate our geniuses, mine, I have two of them, they're going to be, you know, absolutely, you know, wow genius sort of things. We celebrate their genius and we tell them they're wonderful all the way through to college and graduates and things. They get all the breaks and everything is going to go well for them because they have a good IQ. The problem is, intelligence doesn't matter. Now, hold on a second. What do you mean intelligence doesn't matter? According to the teacher, intelligence doesn't matter. The more you know does not necessarily mean the more you get. The more you know doesn't necessarily mean the more you are right. The more you know doesn't necessarily mean the longer you will live. It just means you happen to know more. And as you get older, maybe it might even be the more you know, the more you're going to forget. But knowledge doesn't change the fact that you are still living a life that is finite. You will still die. And psychologists have now come to the conclusion that the level of life satisfaction, that's how happy you are in your job, how happy you are in life and friendships, all those sorts of things, how satisfied, how much you enjoy life, is not, oddly enough, related to the level of a person's IQ. Does that change some of our thinking a little bit? And so the teacher, as he's looking at things, and counts himself as being a smart individual. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And I thought to myself, look, I've grown and increased in wisdom more than anyone who has ruled over Jerusalem before me. I've experienced much of wisdom and knowledge. Then I applied myself to the understanding of wisdom and also of madness and folly. But I learned that this too is a chasing after the wind. For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. It doesn't make it better to be smarter. Imagine, if you will, the university professor who is brilliant, absolutely brilliant, but is a horrible teacher. But they're there because they're brilliant. They have a great reputation. Odds are that professor is just as miserable as the students. Not because he doesn't get to do research, or she doesn't get to do research. Odds are he or she is miserable because they have to teach. And they don't want to do that. And they're bad at it. Teaching is not their passion, but it is what they spend a lot of their time doing. So knowledge on its own is not enough. So then we need to turn our attention to wisdom, because we are chasing after wisdom. If knowledge is knowing about something, then, as I said earlier, wisdom is knowing what to do with that something. Wisdom is knowing when to say something on a topic and when to shut up. I wish I had more wisdom. Wisdom is knowing that... Wisdom is knowing that if you touch this thing that is hot, it will burn you, and so don't actually touch it. Knowledge says, hey, this is hot, it will burn me. See, I proved it. Wisdom is knowing when to do these things. Wisdom is that part of the mind that prevents a person from speaking every thought that pops into their heads. I can think of people I wish had more wisdom. Wisdom is a desirable thing in the Bible. Look at King Solomon. King Solomon is come to the throne, and he's looking at this, he's inherited David's throne, he's looking at this kingdom, he's looking at all this responsibility, and he's like, man, how am I going to do this? And God says, I like you, Solomon. I will give you anything you ask for as a coronation present. You choose it, it's yours. And Solomon says, I need wisdom. I need your wisdom to rule your people well. And God says, wow, that was a smart choice. That was a wise choice. And so I will give that to you. But I will also give you wealth, and I will give you fame, and I will give you peace, and all these things that you could have asked for, but you didn't because you asked for wisdom. Well, what happened with Solomon? Solomon started out great. Solomon started out very wise and doing a good thing, but the problem is that Solomon didn't allow his wisdom to rule him. Solomon allowed his wealth and his fame and all of those things to take over and rule his actions and his guides. So he met all these wonderful women, and he had all these wonderful wives and all these wonderful concubines, and he got peace treaties and all the things that he did that seemed to be very good and very wise. But the problem was that every single one of those moved him further away from wisdom, further away from God, further away from what he was supposed to be doing, and further into decay, and further into being, at the end, not a very good king. What happened to the wisdom? He lost it. It was a chasing after the wind. He was intelligent, but he did not carry his wisdom as he should have. Wisdom is celebrated throughout the Bible. The book of Proverbs is probably the most familiar place to find wisdom, nuggets of gold, information that isn't just knowledge about something, but is how to apply that knowledge as we go. And the teacher praises the idea of wisdom, but in the same breath, he speaks of it, of the meaningless of trying to gain it. The problem with wisdom and knowledge, now here's where the problem comes in. We'll find a solution in a minute. The problem with wisdom and knowledge is the more you know, the more you need to know about how to apply that. The wiser you are, the better off you should be, right? The problem here is that you cannot know everything. I'm sorry. That's a reality. You cannot know everything. So there will always be something you don't know. And that means that your wisdom will always be incomplete. If our knowledge is incomplete, then our wisdom will be incomplete because we don't have anything to act upon. As the teacher puts it, that becomes chasing after the wind. And wisdom then becomes an inadequate guide for our lives if we're looking at it from his perspective. But the good news is that God is still in the picture. Wisdom, chasing after wisdom, is a pursuit of relationship with God. How did I make that leap? Why did I make that leap? God is wisdom. God is wisdom. We read that in 1 Corinthians, and it's pointed out in other places in the New Testament. Jesus is God's wisdom come to earth. So if we are pursuing wisdom, then we are really pursuing a relationship with God, an understanding of who he is. We want intelligence, we want wisdom, but we don't look to knowing God to get it. And yet, that's exactly what God wants to do. In the Garden of Eden, what was the tree that Adam and Eve were not supposed to eat from? That they did? There's two trees that they weren't supposed to eat from. One of them they did. Which one was the one they did? Sorry, what? The tree of knowledge of good and evil, right? And what was Satan's lie in that? He said, if you eat from this tree, you will be like God. You will know everything. God didn't care that Adam and Eve didn't know everything. God wanted relationship with them so that they would look to him and turn to him and develop with him to seek his knowledge and information and wisdom, not get it from an external source. It wasn't to stifle them. It was that so that their pursuit of learning about the world around them would draw them into a tighter relationship with God. God, how does this thing work over here? You know, I was walking along God one day and saw this striped animal and it stuck its butt up at me. Why did you do that? Whereas they could have just eaten from the tree and had all the information right there. They don't need God. And when we don't need God, that is when our wisdom and our fails us and foolishness wins and we turn to our own path and that path leads to destruction. Book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. Wisdom and knowledge used in a similar sort of way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That idea of coming to God is not when our understanding is then completed. It is the beginning of actually understanding wisdom. When we understand who he is, we gain knowledge about God. Staying in his presence and seeking him in our lives is what will grow and develop the wisdom that is truly useful. And so when the second voice in Ecclesiastes says, son, you need to listen to everything that he said because there's good things here, but you need to remember that it is the fear of God is the whole duty of man. Fear God and listen to what he has to say. Put him first is where it comes to. I'm going to close with a story. It's a familiar story. We often don't read it or look at it very much. It's the story of a guy named Job. Remember Job? Good old Job. When was the last time you read Job? It's a long book. There's a lot of complaining going on. We don't often read Job. But I want to tell you a little bit about Job here. Just summarize, because there's a point here at the end of Job that ties this all together so well for me. Job is a wonderful guy, gets into the middle of a scuffle, and he just is placed there. It's not even his doing. A little bit of a debate between God and Satan. Satan says, you know what? I've been running around. God says, hey, did you notice Job? He's doing a good job down there. And Satan says, whatever. He's just doing that because you made him rich. You made him wealthy. You gave him all sorts of really good stuff. Of course he's going to love you. Take that away and he's going to curse your name, God. God says, all right, test him on it. We'll see what happens. They've got this debate. Job's kind of in the middle of it. Now feel bad for Job. And so everything happens, everything that is bad happens to Job, except he does not die. That was the one condition. And so here's Job sitting on an ash heap, picking at sores, wearing sackcloths, he is just in the miserable state of his existence. His wife comes to him and says, why don't you just curse God and die? And Job says, I'm not going to do that. And his friends come along and they say, we are intelligent people, Job. We are smart people, Job. We know the answer to your problems. The answer to your problems is that you obviously sinned somewhere along the line, and now you're being punished for it. So all you have to do, Job, is acknowledge that you did something wrong, and your life will go back to being good again. That's their answer, because they're very intelligent people. But they've missed the mark. They don't know for sure. And Job sits back and replies and says, no, I don't think I did anything wrong, but I don't know why I'm in this predicament. I just don't understand. So I'm going to make a plan. The plan is I'm going to find out. And so I'm going to call God out. I'm summarizing, and there's a lot of Job that we're kind of catching here. And so Job calls God out. He says, God, why did you do this? This doesn't make any sense. I'm a little bit miffed. Now, you have to be careful when you call God out on things, because he may actually just answer you. You want a face-to-face with God, you may actually get it. Job got the face-to-face with God. And in chapter 40, it comes... Oh, let's skip that here. Chapter 40, God shows up to Job's complaining and his trying to get him, God, answer for yourself, because I'm a little miffed. And God says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. He doesn't say, oh, I'm sorry, Job. He says, hang on a second. You are diving into information. You are diving into knowledge. You are diving into wisdom that you know nothing about. You are not seeking me for the right answers. You are seeking me to give excuse. Now I have some questions for you, Job. You think you're so smart. And he runs through all these questions. Were you here then? Did you understand? How many stars? Do you know all about these things that I know about, because I am God and you are not, Job? Job really gets a tongue lashing from God out of it. And at the end of that lashing, chapter 42, Job finally responds. God finally finishes the tirade. And Job responds. And I want you to listen to this and see if we find ourselves in here. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job tried to question God's knowledge. And in the end, the response is, I've heard of you. But now I see you, I've met you, and I understand that I know nothing, but I need to know something. And I need to know you. For in knowing you, that wisdom, that knowledge, that is how I get that. In searching and seeking relationship and understanding of who God is. We have the same thing. Wisdom, chasing after wisdom from the heavenly perspective, from an above the sun thing, from a fear God perspective, isn't discovering that wisdom is an inadequate guide because we cannot be wise about everything because we cannot know everything. But wisdom, seeking wisdom, is a humbling ourselves before God and understanding relationship with Him. There is no lasting value in chasing after wisdom. The teacher said so. But there is lasting value in chasing after God. And that has a value that will last for eternity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for the invitation that you give us to seek your knowledge and your wisdom. Lord, I pray that we would not be smart on our own accounts, but that we would be counted fools, but fools who are seeking after you. That our wisdom would come from you, our knowledge would be about you and informed by you. Lord, I do not ask that you make us the smartest people in the room. Lord, I'd ask that you would make us people who are wholeheartedly seeking after you in every room that we are in. And that we would be witness to you in that. Thank you for these things, Lord. We pray in your Son's name. Amen. I invite you to stand with